Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And good morning. Welcome to hour number two of the broadcast. Time for Faith Focus Friday. And we have a very special treat today. Conversation I've very much been looking forward to. It was just a few months ago, I had a conversation with Wayne Jacobson, and he indicated that he had connected with a woman who had some very interesting ideas. And the idea came together for he and another friend and this woman to do a book together on the subject of healing and relating. I've mentioned this to you a number of times in the past few months because I've been reading this book, and the product is A Language of Healing for a Polarized Nation. It's a new book that is coming out, and I am not exaggerating when I tell you I think it's one of the most important books for this season of our country's history. Now, I've said before that I'm all for focusing on our economy and dealing with some of the other issues that are relevant. But at the same time, we also need to address the heart and soul of our nation and talk about how we relate to one another. Because if we don't get this issue resolved, we won't have a country. You cannot build a country with money. That's not a foundation. It really isn't. But I'll get off my soapbox and bring aboard my good friend Wayne Jacobson, who is the mastermind behind this book. Good morning. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, thanks, Vince, for having me. It's good to talk to you again.
First off, tell me about your heart behind this work. What motivated you to get this thing started?
Well, it's actually the aftermath of something I've been doing for 30 years, and that's helping public school districts who are having conflicts with parents over religious liberty issues. And particularly in California, where secular governments making such advances that sometimes Christian parents feel excluded from the forum. And they also got some bad information that made them even angrier at the school district. So I seemed to be helpful. I was just pastoring in a community at the time, but I seemed to be helpful helping these angry parents find a connection with the school district and help the school district find a better conversation with its families so that people can actually may disagree significantly on key issues, but can we create an environment that treats those differences fairly? And I think that's what most Americans want.
That's an important subject you touch on, the importance of fairness. Let's talk about the other people involved in this project. Tell us about the other two people and how you know them and where they're coming from.
Yeah, Bob Prater's been a longtime friend, lives about 200 miles from me. Just has a real heart. Just a former pastor, it was a real heart to reach out to people that are more marginalized. Has a podcast called A Christian and a Muslim Walk Into a Studio, and he's been helpful kind of bridging that gap with the Muslim community in his town. He had the idea for this book, and we had another person that was going to be the third voice on it who turned out she couldn't do it. I met Arnita in Dallas about a year and a half ago just at a meeting I was conducting. She showed up. We got to talking. And 3 days later, we started exploring about adding her voice to our book. And she's got her master's degree in leadership development, African-American woman in Dallas, and has met some interesting situations there that played into the book in a wonderful way.
Now, it's important to consider here that you guys have very different political philosophies, for instance. How did all of that work out?
Well, the idea of the book was, how can we bring people of great differences together and have reasoned conversations that doesn't look for one side to win over the other, but how do we both win? How do I get what I need from the culture? How do you get what you need? And it worked out marvelously well. I'm more conservative than Bob. Bob's pretty liberal. Both Bob and I are white guys, and Arnita's an African-American woman. And so our experiences are very different. Our passions for the culture are very different. But the one thing we held in common is we can have a better conversation, one based on mutual respect and compassion, not you're the enemy because you disagree with me.
One of the things I like that you use in your language is the difference between consensus and compromise. Talk about that.
Yeah, compromise means that somebody's had to give up something to get somebody else what they want, and sometimes that happens in consensus. But compromise is often we haven't had a better conversation. We've just fought over your wants versus my wants. The conversation I'm talking about, and one I've seen a lot in school districts where I've gone, is once mutual respect happens, I realize that you differ from me and you want something different, but I respect the fact that we're both part of a public square, and the importance is how do we share that public square, not how do I win over you, and that's where consensus happens. It's a large-scale majority. So when I go into a room that's polarized, my first comment generally is we're done when 90% of us agree on a solution and everybody laughs because they think that's my opening joke. But that actually happens. Once fairness becomes the predominating motivation, people will find their way to some interesting solutions.
We're talking with Wayne Jacobson, and a new book is called Language of Healing for a Polarized Nation. One of the things that is so important, and it seems very basic, listening. Listening.
Yeah, listening out of a heart that seeks to understand and respect. Most conversations I'm in that are very polarized and very angry, most people aren't listening. They're already preparing their rebuttal to the person because they said one thing that ticked them off. They haven't listened to the rest of that conversation. They haven't really understood it from their point of view. And because they can't, then our conversations to try and rebut it just become frivolous. Because we can't really, not hearing what the other person is saying, then I can't respond in an intelligent way to them.
One of the things I find entertaining is, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, Wayne, when you find yourself arguing, basically somebody is trying to paint you into a corner. For instance, if they say you're a conservative, and so automatically they bring up a person's name. And you automatically are supposed to be associated with that person and defend that person because you were in this group. And this is part of what we have to get beyond, right? We've got to listen to people and find out who they are and what their views are and not try to put people in boxes.
You're absolutely right, Vince. I think that's both the challenge of dealing with the language of healing, but it's also the hope. If you ask most people, whether conservative or liberal, do they feel like they're misunderstood, whether it's by the media or by the other person? Everybody feels like they're misunderstood because most people take the worst example of the other side and compare it with the best intentions of their side. And so you're right. Actually, the hope is if you actually listen to each other, that person's not who you think they are. They're not the caricature of the MSNBC host or the Fox News host. They're not that. And if you listen to them and listen to the nuance in their language, that's where we have opportunity to find that avenue of fairness together.
Quick thing. We only have about a minute left in this particular segment. You also talk about false binary choices, which is one of my favorite things to talk about. Hit that if you can in about 30, 45 seconds.
Well, the last election, give it clearly. You know, on one side, you've got build a wall and deport them all. If you're talking about immigration, on the other side, you have open borders and bring everybody in. There's 100,000 permutations between those two very extreme positions. And it's having the conversation to find the kind of solution that would work best for all of us. And because we see these things in binary choices, we don't even look at the other options that are available to us.
This is one of the things that also can be very helpful just by having conversations and listening, because sometimes we'll find out that people's perspectives are not what we think. Are you able to hold on through the break and to touch on a couple of other quick things, Wayne?
I'd be happy to, Vince.
Talking with Wayne Jacobson, the book is called A Language of Healing for a Polarized Nation. Our conversation continues after this break.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Is one that I've mentioned, I believe, is probably one of the most important books that is coming out in this particular season, A Language of Healing. And this is is something that's so important in an atmosphere that's so polarized like we have right now. I want to touch on a couple of things before we go here. And one of the things, especially for Christians, it's so important, is that God's called us to be ministers of reconciliation. And I find it so sad that rather than being ministers of reconciliation, some of us, many of us, are participating in creating and further stimulating this toxic culture and playing a role in this. How do we move in another direction here and transcend this, Wayne?
Yeah, as I've talked to Christians as I travel around, part of it comes from feeling like we've been bashed by a liberal media and a liberal political climate for so long, and we used to hold the reins of power in our culture, and we've slowly lost those to a more secular worldview and a more secular kind of culture. And so there's this wanting to fight back and take control, and somebody's taken the America I love, and they've destroyed it, and I've got to assert my way back. What they miss is living in the culture we live in, we can't ask people to live a Christian lifestyle if they don't know the God we know. And so to try and subvert that by law or try to take our anguish about losing control of the culture back to politics and try to win it on that platform is failing. It's been failing for 40 years that I've watched it fail. We need a more generous Christianity that is able to live in the world not as the dominant culture, but as people who are expressing the love of God to our fellow countrymen, even if they don't believe the things that we believe yet. It's not political anguish that's going to lead them to know the God we know. It's going to be kindness and tenderness.
And this has become politically unacceptable for a lot of people, Wayne. I hear this all the time from people. We've got to win. We've got to win.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the climate we're in right now, and it's going to be interesting. The thing that encourages me most, Vince, is only about 28%, according to polls, are really wanting to drive the conflict we have, whether it's media, politicians, whatever. We know conflict sells, so there's a vested interest in hyping the conflict. But that leaves 72% of us Americans that are sick of the polarized climate. We want to have a better conversation, and we want people, politicians and media people, that are going to give us a better conversation. That's what I like about your show, quite frankly. I think you're really working to have that better conversation instead of just choosing a side and trying to make the other side look like jerks.
Yep, it's kind of interesting here. I'll tell you this, because I think this is an example of what you're talking about. In this past week, here in Mecklenburg County, this city, Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, is becoming very, very blue. I mean, there are those who have speculated we may never have another Republican mayor again after having mayors with consecutive terms. And yet this week, Wayne, the people of Mecklenburg County rejected a sales tax increase, but the vote was 57%. And so, and I tell people all the time, don't automatically assume just because Democrats control things that the ideas that are normally associated with Democrats, tax and spend, are automatically going to go through. So I think that was another example that you don't just assume. You appeal to people's hearts and minds, and here you have what you've talked about, a consensus. People have rejected the tax.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, because I think we tend to be too one-dimensional about our opponents and sometimes even about our own agenda. We don't realize there's a whole number of things going on. But what you kind of talk about, I think, is where the people from the right side of these issues often come, and by right I mean political right, and that is we used to be in power and now the power is shifting. And then we don't know how to exist alongside people if we're not the dominant culture. I think it's time for all of us to learn that we need to not be the dominant form in the culture. We need to learn ways to collaborate. Otherwise, we're headed for another civil war in this country when the rhetoric gets so volatile and people get so angry and we waste so much time belittling and demeaning our opponents. That can't bode well for our future as a country.
Well, we have the opportunity to move in a very different direction, and I think your book will do a great deal to help us move in that direction. How can people learn more about the book and the conversation? There is actually a Facebook page that's set up on this.
Yeah, languageofhealing.com is where they will find all the resources about the book. There's a Facebook page as well, but that's kind of a private group right now until the book is made public, because only a few people are getting to read it in advance. But we've been thrilled with what we've heard in advance from people who've read this book left and right are saying this is the conversation we need to have now. Every American needs to read this book. So we're kind of encouraged. This was a book I couldn't write 20 years ago because you couldn't write a book on peacemaking. But now you can. Now there's a great hunger for people to have this conversation.
Very much so, and we absolutely appreciate the fact you've come on. You've taken on this project. Wayne, God bless you. Thanks again for coming on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Vince. Appreciate it.
And, again, I cannot emphasize this enough, just how important it is. And those of you who may be really hard-charging and you're thinking to yourself, no, we need to win. We need to win. We need to win. You know, just read, okay? That's my appeal to you. Read this. And I think you'll find it's not what you think. It's not some sort of mamby-pamby thing. There is strength. Now, this needs to be understood. There is strength in what Wayne Jacobson is talking about here. And I think that's vitally important. We're running out of time here. And there are a couple of things I want to address. John Crist. You may be familiar with him. He's done a lot of viral videos on Facebook, Twitter. And a lot of them are kind of making fun of Christian culture. He's a Christian guy, but it's all just, you know, kind of making fun of us. Unfortunately, John Crist has been caught up in a scandal. He's canceled all of his 2019 tour dates, those that are left, after reports of sexting, harassment, and manipulation. I'll just tell you briefly some of what's happened here. I've read some of these stories and some of these accounts. They're really disturbing. They really are. And he's just had apparently multiple inappropriate relationships with women. And the thing that I appreciate, though, is he's written something to respond to what's happened. Over the past number of years, various women have accused me of behavior that's been hurtful to them. While I'm not guilty of everything I've been accused of, I confess to being guilty of this. I've treated relationships with women far too casually, in some cases even recklessly. My behavior has been destructive and sinful. I've sinned against God, against women, the people who I love the most. I've violated my own Christian beliefs, convictions, and values, and have hurt many people in the process. I am sorry for the hurt and the pain I've caused these women and will continue to seek their forgiveness. I've also hurt the name of Jesus and have sought his forgiveness. Over several recent years, I've privately sought and received regular professional treatment for my sexual sin and addiction struggles. I am committed to getting healing and freedom from my sins and have decided to cancel my remaining tour dates this year and to postpone all future commitments in order to devote all my time and energy on getting spiritually healthy, mentally and physically. Those closest to me, my family, team, and close friends, have known about this battle for some time, and now you do as well. I'm ashamed of my behavior, so sorry for hurting so many people. I don't blame anyone but myself. I'm responsible for my actions. I've repented, taking full ownership. I realize it'll be difficult for some people to ever forgive me. I accept this as a result of my bad decisions and actions. My entire career has been lived on stage. Even though I've shared many of my life struggles with my audience, I've lived in constant fear of the darkest parts of my life being exposed publicly. In the end, it's just saying, I am so sorry. And we certainly extend forgiveness to him. Well, this time is just zipping away so quickly. I share with you about John Crist. Pray for John. And my heart just goes out to him. And I think of, in fact, I was talking during the break about a friend of mine locally who's dealing with really the same kinds of issues. Same kinds of issues. I know a number of you are on the line. Please hold on because I will try to get to your calls in just a moment. This is the other part of what I wanted to share. And you'll understand it, especially in the context of what I shared about John Crist. This is from another good friend of mine, David Frederickson. He posted this on social media this week. Many years ago, my wife and I worked with an outreach ministry in the Bay Area where we eventually planted a church in the inner city of San Jose. Early on, we met a man called Bill. He loved helping people. He was especially drawn to war veterans who often turned to alcohol in an effort to drown the emotional pain and guilt that plagued their every waking moment. His love and compassion for the people we worked with won him a place in their hearts. He had a way of mixing encouragement with exhortation that helped them to accept the truth about themselves and find hope to move forward with their lives.
Bill was a natural evangelist. Not a few came to know Jesus and the transforming power of his love. Unfortunately, Bill was an alcoholic, and all of our efforts to reform him failed. Several years later, we left the Bay Area to plant a church in the Sacramento area. It wasn't long before a couple I'll call Fred and Sally. They began attending the services. Fred was always the first to volunteer, for any need among the fledgling congregation. He offered his handyman skills for free to those who could use a break. When our washing machine broke, I came home to find Fred installing a new one he'd purchased with his own limited funds. Fred and his wife took a disabled young man into his home and helped him to become a part of all that was going on among us. Throughout the years, Fred was our most fruitful evangelist. He led people to Christ and often met their material needs as well. Sadly, Fred was an alcoholic. Several years ago, someone who was still in touch with Bill called to let us know he'd passed away. Gave me the details regarding his upcoming funeral. There was a large gathering in the church building where the memorial service was being held. I could tell by the pastor's sermon, Bill's troubles had never ended. Neither had his love stopped. One after one, veterans who had found Christ through their relationship with Bill, as well as those still seeking, stood up and shared about the sacrificial love Bill demonstrated that had changed their lives. I must admit, I spent most of my life judging people's worth based on how pure a life they lived. Sure, I appreciated the contributions made by people like Bill and Fred, and even had genuine love and compassion for them. But though I never admit it to anyone, I thought of them as being a couple of rungs down the ladder from those who lived an upright life. And secretly, I brushed off my sense of conviction. They were more giving and caring than I was. Paul asked the Roman Christians this question: who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. In the final analysis, love wins. Isn't that awesome? I so appreciate that from David. Because I think we all wrestle with this in some way. You know, that person who's just not, you know, might be a little off. You know what I'm saying? And yet, look at these lives touched. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not justifying sin or encouraging sin or sinful behavior. That's not the point of this. And if a person really doesn't even care about righteousness or godliness, that's not what this is about. It's about someone struggling. And people can struggle with all kinds of things, like John Christ or any of the people that have been mentioned here by David Frederickson. Just keep that in mind. I think we would all do well to do so. Jasper, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, hello, sir. Nice to talk to you again.
Yes, sir.
Well, a lot of what you said with that other fellow, I remember reading in Dale Carnegie's book, How the Wind Friends Influence People.
Yes. Yes.
And are you familiar with the book?
Yes, I am.
So, you know, I just thought that maybe, you know, that might be a good thing to mention to people that maybe they might want to read it.
It's not a bad idea, Jasper. I appreciate your call, and I think the message behind this that's really important, it's really important to understand the idea and the hope and the heart of this. If your goal is to reach people, if it is to accomplish something, by all means, you know, you want to focus on how you can, have a winsome approach. That's really, really important in how we approach people. Let's go out to Joe. Good morning, Joe in York.
Thank you, Vince, very much. A very timely conversation, especially when we realize that the news media and the political left is attacking Christianity as being evil and Christians have to be fought against, and that Christians are abandoning the Christian church. The Christians are not abandoning the Christian church. When the Christian church preaches Christianity, Christians are leaving some of the churches, not all of them, when the minister makes himself a god by distorting what the Bible says. That's what's going on with the people leaving some of the churches. And the Bible teaches that the heart above all is deceptively wicked.
Yes.
A lot of politicians use the hearts, the emotions, to guide people into doing things that will not benefit them or society.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of politicians make gains and
yes.
preach against what's good for them in the long run.
You're absolutely right. And this is, and I think something really important for us, Joe, is to keep in mind we need to be salt and light. We need to be influencers, positive influencers. We should not be taking cues from the corrupt culture. We should be bringing salt. It's a preservative, as opposed to participating in the corrosive activities that other people are known for. They're exploiting this. And I've said this before with the news media. You know, this is what news media and politicians do. You polarize people. You make sure that you get people on your side, and you demonize the other side. So hopefully we are able to move in a direction that's very, very different than that. But it's going to require some work, and it's swimming against the stream of what is very popular to do right now in both camps. And here we are, the final stretch of the broadcast on this Friday. Hope you have been encouraged by our Faith Focus Friday segment. It's always one of the more enjoyable portions of the program for me to do. Some interesting things on the text line, including this. Thank you, Vince, for sharing that story. I'm an alcoholic. For years, I beat myself up. Hearing that story reminds me I am love. And to keep doing the good job that you're doing, God bless you. Thank you very, very much. On the text line as well, sad this was not happening prior. I assume the conversation about the book, the Wayne Jacobson book, prior to 2016, before that, we had law enforcement officers being assassinated, cities rioting, burning, and that through the propagation of lies spoken in a calm, cool, and polished manner. This is not Trump's fault. It's called sin. Darkness can't dwell with light, and it can't. You know, and it's important to understand this that you talk about, this strife, it can be very clean, it can be very polished, and it could also be very nasty and mean and derogatory and disrespectful. See, I had this conversation with somebody the other day, and yeah, I think those of you listening on a regular basis, I've told you, I think Donald Trump and Barack Obama have the same narcissistic personalities. But it's expressed in different ways. It was very polished for Barack Obama, and yet very destructive. And I think a lot of people who think that Donald Trump is so horrible, they don't recognize that Barack Obama did some of the same things. He was just very polished about it. But it was equally destructive. You know, when you make comments about police, and you remember the, you know, the incident where he referred to the officer acting stupidly. See, when you do things like that, and because he said it in a very polished way, and he had a, quote, dignified approach, he was nonetheless just as polarizing and destructive. That's my conviction anyway. In fact, well, I don't need to go down that road anymore. Let's take a look at the day in history. So we go down to our upstate studio and our good friend, Mr. Lonzo. How are you doing today, sir?
Dealing with drama, but I'm good.
Drama, oh my goodness.
Radio drama, you know how that is.
Yes, I do, believe me. I think I'll leave that alone. Let's go to five questions. And we had this Louvre Museum opened up to the public in 1793. It had been private before that time. In what city is the Louvre Museum located?
Paris.
You are correct. Absolutely brilliant.
So you thought of me uncultured and thought I would miss
it. I would never think such a thing about you. 1864, this president was re-elected. The first president to win re-election during wartime. Who was it in 1864?
Lincoln.
You are correct. Again, 1960, this young guy beat Richard Nixon to become president.
Kennedy.
You are correct. 1980, this member of the Beatles murdered in New York City.
John Lennon.
And 1993, this trade agreement was signed, and it's been profoundly vilified a great deal since then. Which one is that trade agreement? You can... You don't have to give the long name, but if you know the acronym, that'll work as well.
I don't know.
It involves Canada, the United States,
NAFTA,
Mexico. You are correct. NAFTA, also known as the North American Free Trade Agreement. So, weekend is here. Any movies out of interest, by the way?
My wife wants me to go see a Christmas movie. I haven't been to a chick flick in a while, and I guess I'm due.
What chick flick would this be?
It's a Christmas movie. I forget what it's called. It's got Christmas in the title.
Oh, is this
Christmas? This Christmas? I don't know.
Is this the one based on the George Michael song? Is that out? Is the one at the theater? I'm just curious. Last Christmas or something like that.
It might be.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
I'm not up on my chick flicks. You must be.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Believe
me. Did you say that was a song, Vince? Could you sing a little of that?
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't remember. Ain't going there.
That's a great idea, John. My Christmas karaoke special, or our Christmas karaoke special, is coming up.
Yeah.
Vince singing that song would be excellent.
Man. Yuletide spirit. Come on, Vince.
Yes. By the way, this is that movie, Last Christmas. It is the one that's out at movie theaters. It's based on the George Michael song. So.
How can you make a movie off of it? Well,
go figure.
They made Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer off of this song.
Very true. Are there any action movies out? Anything new that for us guys to go to see that we will actually enjoy?
Nothing new this week that I'm aware of, no.
That's a shame. Real shame. For those who are inclined to do so, check out Upstate Pulse, 7 to 9 p.m.
Saturday. I'm glad you mentioned this because there's something. We have Ryan Bonavia join us from Toy Federation because Retro Toy Con coming up in 2 weeks. And this is something I know John would love to go to, but Gil Gerard's going to be there, Vince.
Really?
Yes.
Gil Gerard, man.
Yes. Buck Rogers
that
is going to be there.
That goes way back.
Goodness.
And I would love to interview him, but I'm a little scared.
Why?
We're going to be live, broadcasting live from Retro Toy Con. I don't know, man. That's a childhood hero type thing.
Yeah, understandable. Well, we wish you the best of luck there. Hope that goes.
I forgot to mention, Twiggy's going to be there too.
Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. You're going to have, you're going to get all geeked out on this one.
I'm already geeked.
Great, man. Well, have yourself a great weekend, and all of you, do the same. Take care. God bless you.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.